This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the PDF version at the Canadian Journal of Learning and Technology website, www.cjlt.ca. The copyright for this article belongs to the authors and is openly released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. The title of this article is Analyzing an Interactive Problem-Solving Task Through the Lens of Double Stimulation.
Analyse d'une tâche interactive de résolution de problèmes sous l'angle de la double stimulation.
The authors of this article are Margarita Romero, of Université Côte d'Azur, and Sylvie Barma, of Université Laval. Abstract. Problem-solving activities have been studied from a diversity of epistemological perspectives. In problem-solving activities, the initial tensions of a problematic situation led to a cognitive dissonance between conflicting motives and instruments to reach the activity goal. We analyze problem-solving in the continuation of Sonnino and Leydenen's approach to the analysis of a decision-forming apparatus. The originality of this study is in consideration of the materialistic nature of double stimulation that appears during the activity of the Cree-Cube problem-solving task. This activity engages the participant in solving tasks with interactive robotic instruments. To solve a task, the subject is required to build interactive robotic modules into a specific configuration which will cause the artifact to move from an initial position to a predetermined final position. The conflict of stimuli in the Cree cube is strong and observable because of the tangibility of the artifact, which is manipulated by the participant into different configurations with the goal of solving the task. We discuss double stimulation in relation to the artifactual interactive affordances of educational robotics. Keywords: conflict of stimuli, double stimulation, educational robotics, decision-forming apparatus, problem solving.
Résumé. Les activités de résolution de problèmes ont été étudiées à partir d'une diversité de perspectives épistémologiques. Dans les activités de résolution de problèmes, les tensions initiales d'une situation problématique ont conduit à une dissonance cognitive entre des motifs et des instruments contradictoires pour atteindre le but de l'activité. Nous analysons la résolution de problèmes dans le prolongement de la démarche de Sonnino et Leydenen pour l'analyse d'un appareil de formation de décision. L'originalité de cette étude réside dans la prise en compte de la nature matérialiste de la double stimulation qui apparaît lors de l'activité de la tâche de résolution de problèmes CréaCube. Cette activité engage le participant dans la résolution de tâches avec des instruments robotiques interactifs. Afin de résoudre une tâche, le sujet doit construire des modules robotiques interactifs dans une configuration spécifique qui fera bouger l'artefact d'une position initiale à une position finale prédéterminée. Le conflit de stimuli dans le CréaCube est fort et observable en raison de la tangibilité de l'artefact qui est manipulé par le participant dans différentes configurations dans le but de résoudre la tâche. Nous discutons de la double stimulation en relation avec les affordances interactives artefactuelles de la robotique éducative. Mots-clés: conflit de stimuli, double stimulation, robotique éducative, appareil de prise de décision, résolution de problèmes.
Introduction. This paper focuses on an interactive problem-solving task mediated using modular robotics. Research in problem-solving presents many challenges, including the need to consider temporality and dynamic events through microgenetic approaches. Problem-solving is described as a process which develops through the four stages in the PISA framework for problem-solving, like the four stages defined by Pollya: A. Identification of the problem. B. Planning. C. Developing actions toward a solution. And D. Evaluating a solution. These stages are described as general behaviors, specifying neither the underpinning volitional processes nor the conflicting motives and stimuli during the problem-solving activity. To more deeply understand why and how an ill-defined problem is being solved, the relation between the subject's processes and the specific task in which the participant is engaged must be pinpointed. Vygotsky's principle of double stimulation can be used as a lens to understand how subjects make sense of a complex problem and the process that they commit to pursue an activity as they construct a second stimulus bringing new meaning to the activity. Vygotsky's principle of DS, an epistemological principle in third-generation activity theory, is fruitful to understand how agency emerges when an individual constructs a second stimulus in response to a problem involving a conflict of motives. The DS principle refers to the mechanism whereby human beings can intentionally emerge from a conflict situation and change the circumstances in which they find themselves or solve problems. The conflict is resolved by invoking a neutral artifact as a second stimulus, which is turned into a mediating sign by investing it with meaning. This study considers problem solving as an activity developed by a subject engaged in an ill-defined task which presents a conflictual situation that constitutes the first stimulus. This stimulus is a necessary element to trigger transformative agency in response to a cognitive conflict. To overcome the problematic situation, the subject must demonstrate agency in the form of building a second stimulus that will give new meaning to the situation and overcome the initial tensions of the problem situation. The building of the second stimulus is one of the key concepts in activity theory that is required to understand how subjects emancipate themselves from a given problematic situation. This approach to problem solving considers the situation as a system. Despite the studies of decision-forming apparatus developed within the socio-cultural approach, this approach has not been developed in complex and systemic problem-solving tasks engaging technology as mediating tools. This study proposes to address this challenge and study a complex and systemic problem-solving task through the analysis of the decision-forming apparatus. Vygotskian activity theory perspective implies that we cannot consider the initial situation to be dealt with directly. Neither can such a perspective permit us to establish a plan to address the problem-solving process. Through reconfiguring of the initial situation and as a second stimulus is brought forward, the subject creates new meaning to the artifact that advances the problem-solving process. In the next section, we analyze the role of conflict of motives from the initial to the final stages of problem-solving. The key role of conflicts of motives. The principle of double stimulation considers all initial tensions in the problem situation as a necessary foundation. Conflicting stimuli led to conflicting motives, which produce cognitive dissonance. Conflicting motives can be expressed in the form of dilemmas and double binds and can be even paralyzing if they are not prioritized. The conflicting motives emerging in an ill-defined problem-solving task are essential to trigger the decision-forming process. Conflicting motives are also considered from the neuroscientific perspective under the term of concurrent goals, whereby the subject is required to evaluate the different goals and motives in a certain context. Within the problem-solving task, the subject engages in different decision-making processes that are subordinated to the different goals and motives. From a neuroscientific perspective, problem-solving is dynamic and engages a self-correcting process of the actions within the activity. The materialist aspect of the educational robotic task requires us to consider not only language as a mediating tool but also studies which have been addressing manipulative tasks in robot-computer interaction, but also recent works in neurosciences related to value-based decision-making. From Rangel and colleagues' perspective, the subject updates the value of an action as they advance in the problem-solving process. Solving conflicting motives is an important aspect of that process that needs to be addressed before engaging in the task and throughout the entire process as the task progresses toward a final resolution. Despite the overly simplistic view of acceptance of the task instruction and engagement on the task, both Vygotskian and neuroscientific approaches consider the human to have multiple and conflicting motives before and during a certain task. Sonnino and Leidinen point out that in one of his texts, Vygotsky brings to our attention how the emergence of volitional action by means of auxiliary stimuli and involving a conflict of motives as a central component is key in self-control. Presenting an ill-defined task to participants may create instability and insecurity in the form of cognitive dissonance. Double stimulation can also be used as a methodology to elicit agency as well as a theoretical framework that will enable a better understanding of the process of building higher mental functions. Vygotsky's principle of DS can help us better understand how agency emerges when a person constructs a second stimulus in response to a problem involving a conflict of motives. To break away from a situation of conflict of motives, agency needs to emerge. Agency refers to the subject's will quest for transformation. It transpires in a problematic, polymotivated situation in which the subject evaluates and interprets the circumstances, makes decisions according to the interpretations and acts upon these decisions. The conflictual situation constitutes the first stimulus and is a necessary element to trigger transformative agency to internalize, create and use new mental functions to break away from a paralyzing situation. Conflicts of motives resolution have often been analyzed in time periods going from a few days to weeks. Nevertheless, the resolution of the conflictual motives can also be applied in much shorter periods of time. Sonnino and Leidinen developed their results in the context of the weighting experiment, which happens in minutes. The weighting is considered a state of oscillation, confusion, and indecisiveness for some time. Through the weighting experiment, Vygotsky observes the emergence of volitional action. The actions that the subject develops to overcome the conflict become a second stimulus. Sonnino and Leidinen describe the emergence of volitional action with DS as a process involving two apparatuses which are relatively independent of each other and also correspond to two stages in the genesis of will. Figure 1 introduces the model of double stimulation by Sonnino and Leidinen. Apparatus 1 consists of deciding to act in a certain way with the help of an auxiliary motive. Apparatus 2 consists of implementing the decision formed in apparatus 1. Apparatus 1 is the most complex and can be depicted as involving four faces. Figure 1. Model of double stimulation. Materialistic dialectic and affordances. Problem solving with manipulable material engages the participant in a concrete interaction between the subject and the object. In these contexts, problem solving is observable in the building process of the participant through the different configurations of the material during the problem solving task. The tool proposed to the participants is a set of four robotics cubes engaging the participants to manipulate visuospatial constructive play objects for building the different configurations during the problem-solving task. In the problem-solving tasks with manipulable VCPOs, activity theory can help in analyzing the materialistic dialectic to understand the process of interaction between the subject and the object. In the materialistic theory of activity, it is only this relation that is regarded as fundamental. The concept of activity necessarily includes the concept of its object. This is a constituent feature of activity that is concrete. Activity here is to be understood as purposeful activity and not as synonymous with process or continuum in general. In their attempts to solve problems in the context of scientific practices like the ones of engineers, Nersesian proposes that concept formation and conceptual change arise from the interplay of conceptual and material resources provided by the problem situation. It does, however, to a large extent, demand reflection on one's activities as a process of cognition. For Davidov, a learning activity is a form of creative appropriation of knowledge and concepts. In that sense, knowledge cannot be understood without reference to activity, and activity cannot be understood as purposeless activity without reference to content. In problem solving with tools to which the subject has not yet attributed contextual meaning to the task, we can refer to the work of Ilyenkov on materialist dialectics. Ilyenkov discusses the insoluble contradiction for which the usual methods of operations cannot provide an answer. From a neurotician's perspective, the ill-defined problem-solving situation does not allow the transfer of existing knowledge to solve the task but rather requires the exploration of the system in a new way. There is a contradiction in the way the subject goal can be achieved with tools available in the situation. In those conflicting problem-solving situations, the subject must be able to formulate a contradiction and then find its real resolution through the concrete examination of the thing. The reality means of formal verbal manipulations that fudge contradictions instead of resolving them. The term concrete refers to the functional relation of the activity system, and it is reserved for a lawfully connected aggregate or real facts, or system of determining facts understood in their interconnection and interaction. Concrete is rather the holistic quality of systemic interconnectedness. We can consider concrete as a systematic and evolving state of the activity, in which instruments and actions are interconnected to solve the situation. The process of actualization of concrete at the subject level is influenced by artifact actualization through the enactment of the building of the second stimulus. The concept of affordance is meaningful in understanding the artifact evolution through problem-solving activities with manipulatives. In problem solving with tools to which the subject has not attributed meaning in the context of the task, the uncomfortable situation is also due to the impossibility of using the available tools to solve the situation in an already known way. According to Hutchins et al. And Norman, a materialistic problem situates the subject in front of a gulf of execution, the distance between the user's goals and the means of achieving them through the system. The gulf of execution represented in Figure 2 should be crossed through the exploration of the means or tools available to the participant to achieve a certain goal or solve a certain problem situation and evaluate the effectiveness of these actions. The actions of exploration of the artifact can support the emergence of knowledge from the abstract to the concrete, but also, in interactive systems, the actualization of the artifact's configuration. Through this process of actualization at the user level and at the artifact level, there is an enactment of the building of the second stimulus. Figure 2. Gulf of execution is distance between user's goals and physical system. Research objective. Analysis of an interactive problem-solving task. This study focuses on a problem-solving activity mediated by educational robotic technologies. Additionally, the dynamic process of problem-solving is described in the context of a modular robotic task. The dynamic process is described through a materialistic dialectic with the principles of DS. For this objective, we analyze two case studies engaged in the CREE-Cube task and compare a child and an adult to study problem-solving from a broader developmental perspective. The Sonino DS model is unique in the sense that it allows apprehending and analysis through a generic lens. What the DS proposes is founded in Vygotsky's work, arguing that conflicts are at the core of problem-solving in a dialectical way. Building on Leontiev's reflections on conflicts of motives, Sonino emphasizes that engaging in volitional actions is more than just about choice and decision-making. Making a choice supposes that duality is at the very foundation of the volitional act, and this duality becomes especially prominent and vivid whenever several motives, several opposing strivings, clash in our consciousness. Conflicts of motives are important components in Vygotsky's principle of double stimulation and key elements to trigger agency. They act as the first stimulus to begin the process of will formation. Methodology. Participants engage in the task through a well-established protocol. The cubes are initially covered while the participant is listening to the instruction. Fractions of the cubes are uncovered, allowing the subject to engage in the activity. There is no time pressure while doing the task. Nevertheless, the experimenter is in front of the participant, and there is a video recording of their hands during the problem-solving task. CREE-Cube task. The CREE-Cube task aims to engage the participant in an ill-defined problem-solving task. The participant is exposed to unknown, hidden cubes which need to be manipulated to achieve the game's objective, creating an autonomous vehicle that eventually reaches the finish point. The CREE-Cube task has been designed as a problem-solving task in which the participant is engaged towards the objective of creating a vehicle that is able to move in an autonomous way from a starting red point to a final black point. The material components are four modular robotic cubes, selected from the Cubelets toolkit, considered build bots composed of modular parts. Figure 3 shows a participant seated in front of a table, upon which there are four robotic modular cubes. The participants engaged in the CREE-Cube task notice the cube's different colors, but they are required to engage in the manipulative exploration of each cube to notice further differences between cubes. The participant should grasp the cubes, manipulate them to understand their features, and experiment with different constructions to find a solution. Figure 3. The four robotic cubes at the initial configuration of the CREE-Cube task. Instructions. Instructions for the CREE-Cube task engage the participant in creating a vehicle moving from a starting point to a final point by assembling four pieces. The pieces are constituted of four different Cubelets modular robotic cubes. Participants. The study is developed through two cases. The first case is a child in elementary school and the second case is a pre-service adult teacher. These participants have not previously played with the Cubelets toolkit. They are voluntarily engaging in the task presented to them as a game. The child solved the activity in 11 minutes 37 seconds while the adult solved it in 6 minutes 44 seconds. CREE-Cube task material artifacts and characteristics. This study focuses on a problem-solving activity mediated by educational robotic technologies. The existing literature on materialistic dialectic has not been focused on educational robotics but on other types of artifacts. In educational robotics, the interactive affordances introduce complexity to the problem-solving task. Each of the modular robotic cubes has different visual affordances and technological affordances, which are features of the cubes that can be observed when the cubes are assembled. The red cube has six identical faces. The three other cubes have five identical faces and one specific face with a visual affordance. The black cube has two eyes which corresponds to the distance sensor feature. The dark blue cube has a switch which allows the provision of energy into the system. And the white cube has two black wheels which are the visual affordances for the servo wheels allowing the system to move. To successfully configure the cubes so that they move autonomously from an initial point to the final point, the four cubes must be assembled in a specific way. The switch should be activated, the wheel should be in contact with the floor, and the red cube should be situated before the black cube. Figure 4. The four robotic cubes' visual affordances. In tinkering tasks, the tools are an important mediating factor in the problem-solving process. Not only do the cubes need to be manipulated to be understood, but each has different features. These differences are part of the complexity of the task. The participant evaluates the initial problem based on the instructions, inviting the participant to build a vehicle that can move autonomously with the four cubes provided as a set of tools to build an artifact to solve the problem. This initial conflictual situation requires the participant to explore the tools to make sense of the task and build a second stimulus. Due to the task's complexity, the configuration of the cube requires the participant to assemble and disassemble the cube several times through a tinkering process in which the objects to think with engage the participant in a materialistic dialectic. The situation requires the participant to go beyond their current knowledge. They are required to be creative in establishing functional relations between the cube's behavior and the meaning given to the technological affordances that make each behavior possible. The problem space is expected to be reduced when the participants establish meaningful functional relations contributing to advance toward a solution. Results. The results start by introducing the decision forming at the different stages of the problem-solving task, the initial stages of the child and the adult forming apparatus. The analysis is developed for each of the phases. Conflict of stimuli. Conflict of motives. Attribution to one stimulus of the significance of an auxiliary motive. Real conflict of stimulus. And the closure of a conditioned connection between an external stimulus and the decided reaction. The results conclude by describing the DS as a meaningful approach to understanding creative problem solving. Decision forming at the initial stages of the problem solving task. Before engaging in an action to solve the task, the subject should identify the problem. At this stage of the task, the decision-forming apparatus of Sonnino and Leydinen to describe the four phases of the decision-forming of the Cree cube task is considered. The analysis of the occurrences of the decision-forming apparatus of Sonnino and Leydinen in the experiments involving the child and the adult is described in the following tables and figures. The analysis of the child decision-forming apparatus shows a nonlinear iteration of the different phases, with the prevalence of phases 1 and 3 initially and phase 4 at the end of the activity. The conflict of stimuli appears through the task interaction and brings about the way the meaning is generated through the task. In Vygotsky's theory, an initial stimulus situation involves a conflict of motives. After the child receives the instructions, a conflict of motives is observed prior to a conflict of stimuli. Even if it happens in a short period of time, the decision-forming apparatus 1 details what can happen during the initial phase. Nevertheless, in the video analysis of the task, the conflict of motives is not identified. However, the tangibility of the task allows different loops of conflict of stimuli to be observed. The tangibility of the manipulated tools contributes to the rapid generation of conflict of stimuli. Additionally, it helps to advance towards the generation of new configurations contributing to learning expansion through the problem space to the problem solution. Figure 5. The child is paralyzed in front of the cubes. Figure 6. The child starting to build a configuration by assembling the cubes. Figure 7. The child expands their knowledge by creating a new configuration. The full process of the child decision-forming apparatus is described in Table 1. Table 1. Analysis of the child decision-forming apparatus. The phases of decision-forming are also nonlinear in the adult, with the prevalence of phases 1, 2, and 3 initially and finishing by phase 4. The switch in the conflict of stimuli is the same as observed in the child's problem-solving, yet the adult also encountered a conflict in spatial structure which was solved by configuring the cubes horizontally, which is a more stable configuration. Table 2. Analysis of the adult decision-forming apparatus. Figure 8. The adult tries to build the cubes as a tower. Figure 9. The adult builds a horizontal figure. Detailed analysis of the phases of the decision-forming apparatus. Each phase is further described based on the analysis of the child's and the adult's experiments. Phase 1. Conflict of stimuli. The initial situation leads to a conflict of stimuli between the instruction and the material artifacts. Even if instructions are given to the participants, it is not perceived as a problem if the participant internalizes them through the manipulative exploration of the cubes. Therefore, there is no problem until the participant has perceived the situation as such. Then, the conflict appears between the instructions of the task and the manipulation of the four cubes. The instructions are meaningless and decontextualized, generating a conflicting situation between the instructions and the tools if the participant has not yet explored the cubes. Instructions are not neutral and equally perceived. but they are enacted in each situation by a participant having a certain historical cultural background. This initial conflict of stimulus generates a certain perplexity, as described by Yu and Go. In problem solving, Dewey observes how the learners should make connections to this perplexity, confusion, or doubt by activating their individual and collective prior knowledge and finding resources to make sense of the phenomenon. Dewey explains the cognitive element of learner engagement by describing the origin of thinking as perplexity, confusion, or doubt that is triggered by something specific which occasions and evokes it. Phase 2. Conflict of motives. The resolution of the conflict of stimulus activates different motives which are necessary for a problem situation to be recognized as such. The initial tensions on the problem situation given by the instructions, as an absolute and necessary foundation related to conflicting motives, led to cognitive dissonance. In some cases, conflicting motives are double-bind dilemmas and can be paralyzing if they are not prioritized. We can have a double-bind analysis, how to connect the faces of different cubes, but also how to activate the technological affordances on the cubes. We can observe a certain paralysis at this stage of conflict of motives, especially in the child. At this stage, where the participant doesn't know what to do, the tinkering interaction with the material helps to solve the conflict of motives. Being in a context of evaluation with an experimenter, these conflicting motives need to be solved because of the implicit time constraint to respect through the performance. During this period, the person doesn't know how the participant will go ahead with the task. The child is engaged in the task but is at first paralyzed in front of the material after listening to the instructions. After the initial paralyzing, they need the instructions to be repeated twice, then do not engage in any action before second 48. Contrarily, the adult engages rapidly in the manipulation of the tools. They are only initially paralyzed 4 seconds before starting the interaction. The analysis of the three persons engaged in the triangulation of data analysis has permitted the identification of momentary paralysis expressed in the form of conflict of stimuli. The time taken is not only a pause but an observable conflict of stimuli which needs to be overcome. Phase 3. Attribution to one stimulus of the significance of an auxiliary motive. After analyzing the characteristics of the cubes and their respective faces, the participant can try to invoke a cognitive strategy invested with meaning and engage in building a second stimulus. By exploring the cubes, the participant can find the cube's technological affordances, such as the switch button or the wheels. This discovery generates a second stimulus for solving the task. For example, when the participant sees the wheel, the participant can create meaning, and then can try to verify the significance. For example, by touching the wheels or putting the wheel on the table to test if they move as expected. In this case, the child gives an auxiliary motive to the wheels and is required to overcome this misconception to update the meaning given to the wheels. Phase 4a. Real conflict of stimulus is described as conflicting different receptors on the brain. A struggle is always going on in the body between different receptors for a common motor eld. As Sherrington explains it, any consummated reaction, any victorious reax, has won out only after a struggle, only after a connect at a point of collision. Behavior, then, is a system of victorious reactions. All behavior is an unabating struggle, which does not subside even for a minute. Vygotsky's description of conflicting perception stimuli is also observed in the field of neuroscience. In the Cree cube task, having 4 different cubes leads to an important number of conflicts of stimuli, including the cube's position, colors, and different affordances. The subject needs to solve these different conflicts of stimuli to focus on one of them to explore it. The Cree cube task avoids scaffolding the stimuli by giving the participant a complex setup of unknown robotic material. In this context, the complexity is more authentic than in tasks in which the stimuli are organized sequentially. Phase 4b. Closure of a conditioned connection between an external stimulus and the decided reaction. Participants should decide to focus on a certain stimulus. The case studies led us to observe the focus of the child on the wheels and the switch. The focus of stimuli in the adult is initially on the magnetic properties of the cubes and then on a vertical configuration. They require several failures with this configuration before trying a new horizontal structure that will ensure the stability of the artifact. To solve the task, the participant engages in a series of decisions regarding the arrangement of the apparatus to grasp the different salient stimuli provided by the proposed material. Through these different loops, the participant advances in the problem-solving task by activating DS in a series. Double stimulation, A meaningful approach for understanding creative problem solving. The principle of double stimulation can be observed through a creative problem-solving task that engages the manipulation of tangible robotic cubes. The first stimulus is the problem situation, and the second stimulus emerges through the interiorization of the manipulative experience of the material. When the subject observes the existence of wheels, they are stimulated to think about the possibility of using or activating the wheels to move the vehicle. They can overcome a crucial tension and develop a new understanding of the problem. Through the continuous exploration of the technological affordances of the cubes, the participant engages in further third, fourth, and more stimuli which help the participant reduce the problem space and get closer to one of the possible successful configurations that will complete the task. Discussion. This study is situated in the continuation of Sonnino and Leydinen's approach to the analysis of decision-forming apparatus. However, in this study the nature of the object manipulated in the Cree-cube problem-solving task is materialistic. The study could reveal fruitful methodological research perspectives but also support teachers' capacity for understanding problem-solving tasks in any formal learning environment. This study provides new perspectives for understanding the difficulties learners can encounter when they face a complex problem-solving task. The conflict of stimuli in the Cree-cube is observable because of the tangibility of the artifact, which is also a source of conflict of motives. In this task, the modular robotic cubes are simultaneously the tool and the object. The dialectical approach to the cubes is the object to be shaped into a certain configuration as well as being the instrument to be built into a movable vehicle. A rapid and tangible interaction of the first and second stimulus across the problem-solving process is developed when the participant manipulates the object tool. Manipulable VCPOs engage the participant in the rapid and concrete activity of problem-solving that is observable through the building process of the participant. Affordances of interactive VCPOs create new opportunities for generating conflict of stimuli. These affordances are actualized in their meaning for the subject through interactive manipulation. Interactivity of robotic tools provides powerful objects to think with and contributes to the generation of second stimuli. What is initially perceived as a simple cube is transformed at a certain moment into a power cube with a switch. The moment the child understands the switch allows them to give power to the assembled cubes. Affordances are updated at the moment the conflict of stimuli is solved. There is a clear link between affordances and DS in the problem-solving process with interactive tools. This approach to the microgenesis of the activity can be also related to the prior work of Rabartal. In the instrumental genesis, which operates between the participant's perception of the potential of the material and the construction of knowledge using the artifacts, Cree-cube is an ill-defined robotic problem-solving task provoking a cognitive dissonance by using DS and through which we can document conflict of stimuli and conflict of motives, both being important in engaging the subject into volitional action by giving new meaning to the task and by resolving the problem in a creative way. In creative problem-solving, as opposed to algorithmic problem solving, current knowledge cannot be used by the participant to solve a task. The situation necessarily requires being creative, engaging in an interactive way to explore the tools, generating additional stimuli that solve the conflict of stimuli, and then overcoming the conflict of motives. As Ilyenkov stresses, through the materialist dialectics perspective, the participant engages in exploring unusual methods of operations. According to Ilyenkov, we should engage learners in formulating contradictions and then find its real resolution through the concrete examination of the thing, the reality, and not by means of formal verbal manipulations that fudge contradictions instead of resolving them. This process that allows the generation of germ cells is key in the decision-forming apparatus to solve the task successfully. A short but complex task, such as Cree-cube, challenges usual problem-solving methods due to the cognitive dissonance generated at the start of the task. In this study, the participant is required to engage creatively in generating stimulus by configuring the four cubes in different ways and to arrange these cubes, with important differences in terms of functional features, in a way that allows them to move autonomously, representing a gulf of execution in the dissonance observed between the given tools and the goal of the task. The gulf of execution is considered in relation to the initial system of activity and the object, which will require a reconfiguration of the activity system. Through the different interactions, the participant should build a bridge of understanding by actualizing their understanding of the object affordances. This requires generating conflict of stimuli through interaction, solving conflict of motives, converting stimuli to auxiliary motives, and then starting to engage in the closure of a conditioned external connection and an unmediated stimulus to decide to react, to finally forming the second apparatus to generate a creative solution to the ill-defined problem. The consideration of problem-solving using educational robotics engages a materialistic dialectic in problem-solving through the configuration of the artifacts mediating the activity. The materiality of educational robotic tools engaged in the task requires a wider range of studies to characterize the activity within its complexity. The enlarged way of considering materialist dialectic is one of the research contributions of this study on solving as a dynamic process consisting of different cycles of decision forming. Conflicts of motives are essential components of the principle of DS, however, we lack empirical evidence based only on these two cases, in which only one conflict of motives was observed in the adult activity. Further studies would be required to interview the subject after the activity and identify the different motives and their role in the decision-forming process. More instances of conflict of stimuli than conflict of motives were observed in this interactive tangible task. The dynamic relationship of the resolution of conflicts of stimuli can be observed in the CRE-Q task through the materiality of the artifact, which allows us to observe the focus of the participants, through the way the stimuli are understood but also through the misconceptions that require resolution to solve the task. Even though the case studies are happening in a very short time frame, the principles and features of the model of DS are coherent in a microgenetic analysis like the one of the CRE-Q problem-solving task. The temporality of the problem-solving task permits one to focus on the DS process, which allows one to observe behavioral gestures and artifact configurations to understand the decision-forming process. Within the interactions developed by the subject with the educational robotic tools, there are different cycles of decision-making in which the concept formation allows advancing towards the activity's object. Our study enriches the understanding of the genesis of the volitional act at the microgenetic level. Through this study, we have observed the nonlinear process of the decision-forming apparatus, which requires consideration of the microgenetic level in relation to conflict of stimuli, conflict of motives, and the evolution of the artifact, which materializes the process of tangible problem-solving with interactive modular robots. Acknowledgement. We would like to thank Guillaume Isaac for his revision and acknowledge the financial support of the ANR 18CE380001 project. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial CC by NC 4.0 International License. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the Canadian Journal of Learning and Technology website, www.cjlt.ca.